Right, this is what they always used to call the graveyard slot, wasn't it, no? It's coming. Yes, don't worry. Yeah, now if I can keep Dave Colhane awake for another hour, it'll be an achievement, yes. He used to keep telling me he was praying, but, you know, I didn't believe him. Yes. But anyway, right. Okay. Let's pray, eh? That's always a good idea, isn't it? Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this morning. We pray for this afternoon. We pray that your spirit will continue to work as we look back and look forward. And pray, Lord, now that just be able to pick out the things to share over 40 years and to give glory to you as we look back and indeed look forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've got a couple of slides for you. My friend's just taken off the time thing. Yeah, a few pictures of yours truly. You can take copies home for the dartboard and things like that, you know. So, or, yeah, that's it. Or you can put it over the fire, keep the kids away, you know, all those sort of things. Right, are we okay, sir? Right, okay, well, just a few pictures that they've got in the office. There we are. Now, that was in Bexhill, wasn't it? Yeah? And the cross there, a very interesting story of that. Very briefly, a prisoner who was a carpenter came to faith in Walton Jail, Liverpool. And he gave me that when he came out after 8 years. And he said that he made that when he became a Christian. And he said, go and take that all around the country and explain the gospel, the good news that saved me, and to share with other people. So I've done that faithfully, and many of you have seen that. So that's the story behind that. That was Bexhill a couple of years ago, wasn't it, Dave? Yeah, that was good. Okay, next one, please. There you are, got it again. That was in Cornwall. Yeah, that's right. Cornwall 2, freezing cold day in the market, wasn't it? Look, there he is. That was in Northern Ireland, you know. And a T-shirt on in Northern Ireland is very unusual, isn't it, Jim? Hey, I'll slow down a minute. Hang on, where are we going? Yeah, so that was very interesting. So one of the few times, isn't it, Jim, that you can wear a T-shirt in Northern Ireland. Yes. There we are. Okay, next one. I think over the years, I've got glued to one of these microphones. I suppose most of my time I've spent as a speaking evangelist, preaching and teaching and all the rest of it. So, are we run out? Is that Colhane pulled the plug, is he, or something? Yeah. Bless you. Right, well, I'll carry on then. That was enough of that, was it? Oh, we're up. Oh, look at that. Yeah, there we are. Hey, back again. Yeah, she noticed. You know, the blue T-shirts, you know, that have come into vogue, you know, that was a very religious, spiritual experience, of course. Daniel, many years ago, he said, we could do with some new shirts. But he said, we've got no money. I said, well, we'll get a generic sweatshirt. He said, but we can't afford it. So I said, well, look, I'll tell you what, I'll find the money to do it. Daniel says, yeah, you go ahead and then we can have red ones. I said, no. If I find the money, we're blue. He said, oh. He said, all right then, all right. And he said, God's honest truth. When I got back, that was on the whenever it was, we had a staff meeting. I got back the next day, Jill said, and somebody sent me some money, £200. didn't they, in an envelope, you're going to need this. I needed 500, 200. Oh, that's as good. Next on the Sunday, bloke comes who we've helped, and he comes with a brown envelope in the church. And he said, here we are, it's £300. I think you can use that. So I've been round his house. But that was the £500, and that's the story behind the generic blue sweatshirts. And, of course, they after Chelsea, of course, yes. Right, OK, carry on. What else have we got here? Look at that. Dear Daniel, love him to bits. I think that was my first pay rise. But I never got it. No, lovely. Lovely Daniel over the many years. Lovely man. Bless you. So next one. Oh, again. There's that cross again. Yep, okay, carry on. Next one. That's the same, the same. Oh, look at that, eh? That was in Northern Ireland again, Jim, wasn't it, eh? Yeah. Raining inside. No, that was a kid's school where we did. Doing the sort of umbrella, if you don't open it and use it properly, no point in having it. Well, same with the Bible. We used to do that quite a lot. Next one. Now, that was in Stratford, East London, during the Olympics, and that was the replica of the Olympic torch. Each place got left with one. So we were able to share with people. We had our own one there, the West Ham leg, Stratford leg, of the Olympics, one of the best missions I think we've ever been on. We had over 380 people responded to Christ from all over the world. A wonderful, wonderful time. Great time. Yep, okay, we'll move on. Here he is again. Move on. Yeah, well, stuck to that microphone. Yeah. In actual fact, when I left Stratford, they gave me a replica one to take home. Yeah, okay, move on. Yeah. And just to say, I do other things as well, and I do wear red sweatshirts when on occasions, but that was the survey on the streets, and it's great. Okay, next year? Yeah, there you go. I didn't know. Oh, bless Daniel. Bless him. Yeah, great stuff. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think for 40 years now, where do you start? I think I'm going to share a few things, really. And go back with Daniel a long, 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 long time when he came to a mission in Edgware where Jill and I were, and that was our first, 1978. It's a long time ago. I was a young man then, Dave. And I know that the whole sense of sharing faith and things like that, and I caught the bug there and then, listening to the team and Daniel, etc. in 1978. About 6 months after I'd become a Christian, you know, it was that early on. So I'm going to do six P's. You've had one of them. I just put a few things down here just to share with you. And I put privilege, partners in the gospel, people coming to faith, perseverance, and prophecy, which I'll come on to last of all. I think I'd just like to say, obviously, after 40 years, a calling from God is a privilege. I mean, I'm nobody special, as you well know. Quiet. And, you know, 40 years ago, God called me as an evangelist, and I've tried to be faithful to that calling. And I'd just like to say a big thank you to TFM, which has been a huge part of my life with Daniel and all of you and many, many, many others. It's been a wonderful journey. And what I've reflected on, you know, it's God's gifting and not my particular talents. And I give all the glory to God of the things that he's achieved through us, in spite of us, on many occasions. But I suppose coming back to this morning, keeping close to God in our own relationship and prayer, I think over the years has been one of the key things, you know, that's kept us on the mark. Many other things, partners in the gospel. Well, I've got to say publicly to Jill, my wife, who's put up with me for nearly 50 years, bless her. And it's not always been great and easy being a wife and evangelist. I've been away a lot, but she's always been there for me. And we prayed together. She prayed for me and supported me, loved me, told me off, all the rest of the things. But I pray tribute to you, Jill, and thank you for being there with me as my partner in the gospel. As the advert says on the television, we used to say, TFM is like Ron Seal, isn't it? You remember the Ron Seal advert? It does what it says on the tin. It goes out, and we've maintained that over the years to be the gospel and to share the gospel in all sorts of situations and all sorts of people. And as we've been sharing earlier on, the wonderful stories of how God has met us out there, and we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people come to faith. But there's a lot of other people, you know, it's not going to be like the BAFTA Awards or anything like that, but there are a lot of people that, you know, obviously Daniel there, and we go back a long, long, long way. Daniel loved him, and it's sad to see Daniel decline in recent years, such a great man of God, he very, very influential on me. And Peter Adams, of course, another hero who's up with the Lord now, watching down on us. But Peter was a great talent. I mean, with Daniel, Peter, you know, he was the arms and legs of what Daniel couldn't do. And a wonderful, wonderful man. And of course, John Hibbard. I said last time or a couple of years ago, John Hibbard was a great innovator, a lovely man of God. He still is, but he was one of those guys, you only really missed him when he wasn't there. And I think that's true of TFM. Lovely guy. Of course, Jonathan, my good friend who was with us on staff, but Jonathan and I go back many, many years to Crawley and missions, and it's great to know him and his family and have that support. Also pay tribute to Paul Hoey, who was who did all the missions in Ireland on my behalf with CPAS. He set all the missions up over in Ireland, and I went up there and taught. Great, talented man. And of course, many of you have met along the way Paul Woodman, the escapologist, great lad, wonderful gifts, and brought a joy to the gospel in many, many places, especially Northern Ireland. He went, I didn't know how he would go down well in Northern Ireland, but he did, because he brought a joy to the gospel that it was often a bit dour over there, wasn't it, Jim? Hey? No. Yeah, and of course the office staff, let's see, Richard and of course young Tim when he was around, and David B and Mike and Denise, they've been faithful people over the years, and I thank them very, very much for all their love and support through good and bad times. And of course, then there's Tim, and there's Paul, and Paula, and the trustees. Great times. You notice I missed a couple of people out. Well, I suppose I'll have to say thank you to Dave, and Jim, you know, latterly. But wonderful partners in the gospel, real good friends, people you can rely on, very, very gifted and talented people, and many more we haven't got time to go into. I was just reflecting, I suppose I've probably led something like 500 missions. And I think that, you know, over the times, quite amazing. But one of the other things that have happened, and many church leaders I've worked with more than once, sometimes in their own places, but, you know, in different places when they've gone on. And I suppose that's a testament, really. If you have a mission once, are you going to have it again? and a sense of partnership with those folk and some lovely, lovely people. I mean, like Ferran, we did two or three missions in Dublin, and now we've got the Gathered In mission and all that sort of thing. So, partners in the gospel, but also the other sort of things I've noticed recently. I've heard from people, the prayer partners, and I pay tribute to them, the unseen people so often people that we don't know about, apart from maybe a name on a list. And I've been having phone calls quite recently from people who say, I prayed for you for 25 years. You know, really humbling, isn't it? You know, you think, goodness sake. They're the heroes. They're the people who have enabled things to happen, people to come to faith. Wonderful. Give the prayer partners who are out there. Wonderful people. Yeah. So I suppose in many, many ways, seen hundreds and probably thousands of people commit their lives to Christ. What have I learned over 40 years? Well, God is faithful and delivers. There's no doubt about it. You know, all the sort of stories we had this morning and things like that, is that when you step out, you find that God's already there. When you share the gospel, God's already working in people's lives. But it's up to us to take the step and trust in God and do the business. And many of you have done it over many, many years, and so TFM has become famous for that. So many stories. We could be here till next weekend. But just a few. The walks in their time, the Walk of 1,000 Men, etc., were great from 1991 for the next 20 years. I was involved in most of them. But I remember 1993 down in Cornwall. A team of us ended up, you know, this sort of typifies the sort of walks, ended up in somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Cornwall, I can remember it, near Mavagiffisig. And we ended up there, there was 12 of us, and we ended up, no program, open fields, you know, which was... And we ended up, and we went to this place, this church, you know, right out here, and there was a hut next door, 12 of us in a hut, which was about half the length of this. And there was a bowl of fruit, I remember that, there was a bowl of fruit on the table there, and the 12 of us got in there. And the vicar, he came in, it was Saturday, you know, he came in, he said, great, he says, we've been praying, we've been looking forward to you coming, and I'm off on holiday now, God bless you. I said, oh, that's a good start. They all looked at me, the team, and oh, here we go. So no program, no money, no nothing. So we prayed together and ate all the fruit. And that was it, you know. So we went down to the pub in the evening, as you do. And, you know, then about 10 o'clock, the Methodist hitmen all came in their cars and take me to your leader. So I went out and they were all there. And they said, well, what are you doing tomorrow? And I said, oh, I don't even know what we're doing tonight, let alone tomorrow. And they said, well, come to our churches, 10 churches or whatever. So the team all went out and preached the gospel there. That was the first thing, yeah. And then we're going out of the pub about 11:30, and the landlord said, well, where are you boys staying? And I said, well, that little hut down by the church. And he says, you're joking. I said, what, 12 of you in there? I said, well, yeah. And, yeah, so he said, well, what are you doing for food? I said, well, yeah, that's another question I had. You know, and he said, well, look, I'll tell you what, bring all the boys up here in the morning. I've given breakfast and lunch and then an evening meal. I thought, well, that's great, so that's good. So it all went on like this. And so we had no program, and we went out on the streets, on the doors. That's all we had to do. I went round to the doors for 3-4 days, and there was a little independent church that worked in the village, little lady there, they were very faithful. They came out with us, and there were 14 people that made a response to the Lord. Amazing, you know. And we referred them all back to her. I never heard from the vicar again, but never. But I remember on the last day, there with the umbrella, me and Bill Getty. Bill's not here today, is he? No. Me and Bill Getty are standing there in a pouring rain in Cornwall in the middle of this village, thinking, what are we going to do now? It wasn't door-to-door weather. And the rain's pouring down. This woman rushes across the road and joins us under the umbrella, you know, up close and personal. She says, you've been visiting, haven't you? So you were talking about God and things like that. I said, yeah. So anyway, you know what happened next? Yeah, we led her to the Lord in the middle of the pouring rain. And so you couldn't work it out. So that is some of the essence, I think, of TFM over the years. That God turns up in spite of us or whatever. Lovely stories. Just, of course, Ireland has played a huge, huge part in my ministry, etc. And that sort of connection, Murphy connection with Ireland, with my family being there and things like that, they think, well, this English bloke's not too bad because he's got, you know, Irish connections. So that was like a passport over in Northern Ireland, and hundreds of missions there across the land. Much evangelized place, as Jim will tell you. But to be honest, we saw every mission, 100, 150 responses to Christ. That was regular, you know, in these, in some of the toughest places, in Belfast and things like that. But I always remember one mission we did in Dungiven. It sticks out in my mind with Isaac. And Isaac, he had a hard time at this place. Anyway, a load of people come to the Lord. It was a real move of God. And the follow-up, which we concentrate on a lot, the follow-up was really good. They had 140 people on Alpha after the mission. I remember that. It was so good. He was supposed to go down to Dublin to the bishop's thing. And so he said to the bishop, well, I'll go down there if you take the Alpha course. We've got 140 people. So the bishop did. He took the first 2 weeks. So that was good. Lots of good things. One person I haven't mentioned is Mike Saunders. Mike is a trustee of TFM, but we go back 20, 25 years and have been one of those partnerships over the years. Mike's a great man of God, loves him. I call him Mr. Alpha, because he runs about 3 Alpha courses a year. But in the early days, you know, up in Manchester and then down in London and then latterly in Hungerford, seen many, many, many people come to Christ, and he got them on Alpha courses, and he's probably got one going at the moment. But last of all, I suppose, Dave and Carol Richards down in Stratford. You know, we had a long association with them. Peter Adams from the 90s did missions down there. I followed on with them, and we did missions in the World Cup and 18 churches together. We managed to get all the big black churches on board, which was a rare thing. They never used to join in. They did their own thing. And it culminated in the Olympics in 2012, which is one of the best missions that we've been on. Kev was there and quite a few of you. Amazing time, preaching non-stop all day, every day, in the open air. And we saw miracles, we saw people coming to faith, people having the gospel translated to them and coming to faith. Absolutely wonderful times, which I'll never forget. And then latterly, I suppose, in Seaford, it's been quite an interesting time, a right battle, I might say, where we are at the moment. But in this last 9 months, we've seen about 30 people come to the Lord, which has caused the church no end of problems in trying to follow them up. And, it's been really interesting to behold and watch, you know, but it's been great. So I'm still going on well. Right, okay, a few more things then. I think to persevere. The battle I've found over the years, as you've found, is constant. You're into a spiritual battle all the time. Some of the ministers used to joke with me when they used to come, but these were, oh, you're here now, all the hassle's going to start. I don't think it was anything personal, but yeah. But it's true, the constant battle, you know. When you step out for Christ, you know that. When mission comes on the agenda, if you're not prayerfully backed up, you're going to get battered from all sorts of sides, you know. The devil does not like us going out and telling people about Christ. One of the things I've learned so many times, it doesn't matter what I think. I always say sometimes, oh, it's what I think really matters. But as you get down the line a bit, it's God's work. It's what God does. And so important. Preach in season and out of season. You know, so often we try to think, well, no, these people wouldn't want to hear this, or we want to do that, or we must do it this way or that way. Just go for it. Let God be the judge and produce the fruit or whatever. So preach in season and out of season. And so often the Lord's reminded me, my ways are not your ways. Yeah, absolutely constantly. You know, I think, oh yeah, this would be a good idea. God, we went down there, we did this, and then God almost just overturns it. Said, no, we're going to go this way and do that. Oh, all right, and you know better. And, you know, you think you learn over the years, but you don't. But, you know, and we're totally reliant on Him. I mean, so often I've, you know, all these strategies have come over the years about it, but actually what it is about is faithfully stepping out and saying, Jesus Christ is Lord, and sharing that and preaching that, and God does the rest, doesn't he? But one thing in my heart for TFM, just looking to the future, is maybe a warning, but it's been a warning over the years, and it's Psalm 127. Now, those of you who are familiar with it, it's been on my heart for maybe a TFM. And it's something over the years, unless the Lord builds the house, we build in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we build in vain. And it's so easy, etc. And I was thinking the other day, you know, about laying down my trophies at the end of time. And I thought, well, I'd better explain to Jim. Jim, a trophy is a team, when a football team's successful, they get a trophy at the end of the season. I might not have had that for a good number of years. You know, in a sense, it's been great to see Chelsea win their 16th major title. I just thought I'd just share that this year with the Europa League. You knew it had to come in somewhere, didn't you? Yeah. Well, is that it? Well, there I was. This is interesting. Note the date. June the 1st. It was a sunny day. Remember, the only one we've had so far. June the 1st, Saturday, June the 1st, and it was the day after I'd retired. I thought, this is good, sitting a cup of coffee, looking at the sea and seagulls, and think, this is good, isn't it? Phone rings. Who's that? So 11 o'clock in the morning, answer the phone. There's a guy I knew of. I didn't know him that well. He's around. He's a bit of our church recently. But he is a prophet, a respected man who, you know, people listen to. And he said, hey, look, Roger, he said, I've been a bit in fear and trepidation of calling you. I've got a prophecy for you. I was praying for you the other day. And I said, oh, hello. So I said, well, look, you know, send it to me, email it to me. So he did. And there's a lot of things in it. And I was thinking, this guy doesn't know me this well. You know, if it was one of you, I'd expect it, you know. But he didn't know me that well. He didn't know particularly my situation. But yet a lot of the things that were revealed in there, he could not have known. It was only God. It was about the past. It was about lots of things been going on, etc. But the main thing was that it was the future, or the immediate future. And it said this. It said, the Lord wants to stretch you again. Jill was delighted, you know. I thought, oh, hello. A new chapter is coming, but it won't be the same as the past. And it's involved in counselling, teaching, saving the lost and discipling. And the Lord said he would add more workers to their work for the future. So just when you think, oh, that's good, put your feet up. No, obviously God's got different... I've no idea what this actually means, because it only came like 2-3 weeks ago or whatever. We've been on holiday since, and then I've come back and just sort of working that through. So we're praying that through. But so exciting times. Exciting times. And whatever God's got in store, I'd be grateful for your prayers, whatever this is and whatever form it takes. I mean, obviously, it will looks like it's involving what I'm doing in Seaford and surrounding areas already. We're seeing moves of God, which is good. But one of the most interesting things, we're seeing people from working class background very completely distant, cut off from God or church or anything, coming to faith. Now, there's a whole heap of stuff of people coming, but consistently we're seeing people off the estates responding to Christ and all that. So it's a challenge for the church at the moment because, you know, a lot of these people haven't got the ears and graces or whatever. They don't know anything about church life and all the rest of it. One woman, Tash, you know, she was going to the bingo, and she said to me, she said, here, God answers prayer, Rog. I said, yeah, I know. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, and it's true, this cat around the estate, around the cabin, had been missing for 3 months, right? Now, it really was missing. And she says, I heard about it. So I know the woman, she said. And I prayed about it last night, she said. And they found the cat this morning. Now, I sort of laughed inside. I thought, yeah, but hang on, to her, she prayed, it happened, and you can't argue with that. So we're seeing all those sort of things happening. So there we are. So as I close one chapter and enter another, I don't think I'm going to be unemployed. It's just a different era that I think God's moving me into. And as I said, I'm still available for TFM and stuff if you want me to come along and do a bit and hold a microphone somewhere. I'll gladly do that, but it'll be interesting to see what God's got in plans. If you want to keep in contact with what I'm doing or the rest of it, let David B. at the office know and I'll put you on a list, a prayer bulletin that I send out, keeping people up to date. But God bless and thank you very much and love you lots. Thank you.
Do you want to come up?
Well done. Jill, do you want to come out? Whoops. Come and join Roger.
Mind the step, yeah.
Yeah, mind the step, Dave.
I have to say that staff meetings have been very interesting the last days before Roger went, because Chelsea has to come first in any staff meeting.
Of course it does.
And these two, Jim and David, really, you know, calling you to order. Roger, we've got some gifts for you. And for Jill, with our great appreciation.
You better open it.
You leave there. I'll just say something. Is this anything to do with you? Is it? Oh, yes.
It's a West Ham shirt, Rog.
You did say red, didn't you?
I did say red.
Red!
Oh! Manchester United written on it.
Oh, look at this. Hazard socks. That's so I can remember him. Great joy. Oh, look at that. Oh,
you've seen the light, it's gone.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, you'll love that.
Oh, look at that. Thank you very much. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
We'll move to the middle and we'll gather around you and yes. We can pray for you as you're going.
Shall I put this on? No, that won't.
And praying for.
Thank you.
Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. And we thank you for Roger, Father. We thank you for this legacy. 40 years and more in ministry, Father. We thank you for all the lives you've impacted through his ministry. All those believers, Father, who didn't know you but have taken that step to come into your kingdom, Father. So we thank you for those changed lives. And not only them, but also the knock-on effect, that ripple effect through families and networks and neighborhoods of lives changed for your kingdom, Father, for now and for eternity. So we pray you'll bless him, Father, and bless Jill, Father, this new chapter. We pray that you will use him. Use his wisdom, Father, to come alongside others, to disciple new believers, Father. These guys we rejoice about hearing in Seaford who are turning to you. Father, we pray that Roger will be in a place to be able to come alongside, disciple them, just to instill those kingdom values in their lives and to encourage them to share your good news, to do what he's been doing, Father, to take that baton of the gospel and to take it to where it hasn't been before. So again, more and more people can hear about the wonderful love you have for them in Jesus. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Father, bless you for this man. Thank you for many of us having a lovely friendship with him. Mm. But I think particularly the future, Lord, I pray that you continue to guide him. Yeah. And I pray for Jill at this time as well, as things will change again for her. Mm. Continue to guide her and hold them both together. Yes. Thank you for their lovely family. Hope they had a wonderful time with Chris as it comes in the next few days with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomorrow. Bless that Tuesday. Time, Lord. But above all, continue to guide him as you have. have all these 40 years as he steps off into the future. So bless them both. Keep them united and keep them relying upon you. For Jesus' sake.
Amen. Amen.
Father, although we're celebrating Roger's time with TFM, Lord, we know that he couldn't have done what he's done if it hadn't been for your support, Lord. And we just want to thank you for her, Lord. We want to honour her, Lord, because we know, Lord, that she's made many sacrifices over the years, Lord. It's not much fun being at home alone and your husband's travelling all over the place and coming back with all these amazing stories. And I'm sure there's that there have been times when she's found that really difficult. So, Father, we honour her. We thank you for her. We thank you for the way that she supported Roger. We thank you for the way that she has prayed for him. We thank you for the way that she's been there to listen to his stories. We thank you for the words that she's been able to bring to him to encourage him and help him, Lord. And we thank you for her, Lord. And we thank you now that they have this opportunity to spend more time together, Lord. And Father, we pray that will be a real rich blessing for them in their lives, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, just thank you for these times at TFM, which has formed part of my life, a big part of my life. And I thank you for all the team members and people that I've been involved with over the many years. Pray that may see many of them again in the future. But, Lord, thank you for this era. And we just pray, Lord, for whatever you have in mind, Lord, that it would be done in accordance with your will and plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I just say a couple of things? Ronnie came to stay last night, and he brought one of the previous prayer letters, and on it, it's got introducing Roger Murphy. He's not changed much. No, he's dressed in dark blue and white. It does mention Chelsea.
What a surprise.
You quickly realise that an evangelist actually really seems to work directly for God. They report to God and kind of partner with your organisation. I remember seeing the first time I saw you in your ministry, and I just thought, yeah, what an anointing. And thank you for being with us and letting us share in that blessing.
We have one more gift, which I must confess I nearly forgot.
Oh, I'm on to it. Oh, it's lovely. Oh, thanks, Dan.
We'd like to give you this as a memory.
Yeah, lovely. That's lovely. Thank you very much. There you go. Great stuff.
Brilliant. Great.